And now we begin Volume 2. We continue with Volume 2, Chapter 1, entitled Kamsa Sends Akrura for Krishna. Vrindavan was always absorbed in the thought of Krishna. Everyone remembered his pastimes and was constantly merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss. But the material world is so contaminated that even in Vrindavan, the asuras, or demons, tried to disturb the peaceful situation. One demon named Arishtasura entered the village like a great bull with a gigantic body and horns, digging up the earth with his hooves. When the demon entered Vrindavan, the whole land appeared to tremble, as if there were an earthquake. He roared fiercely, and after digging up the earth on the riverside, he entered the village proper. The fearful roaring of the bull was so piercing that some of the pregnant cows and women had miscarriages. Its body was so big, stout, and strong that a cloud hovered over its body, just as clouds hover over mountains. Arishtasura entered Vrindavan with such a fearful appearance that just on seeing this great demon, all the men and women were afflicted with great fear, and the cows and other animals fled the village. The situation became very terrible, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan began to cry, "Krishna! Krishna, please save us!" Krishna also saw that the cows were running away, and he immediately replied, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid." He then appeared before Arishtasura and said, "You are the lowest of living entities. Why are you frightening the inhabitants of Gokul? What will you gain by this action? If you have come to challenge my authority, then I am prepared to fight you." In this way, Krishna challenged the demon, and the demon became very angry by the words of Krishna. Krishna stood before the bull, resting his hand on the shoulder of a friend. The bull began to proceed towards Krishna in anger. Digging the earth with its hooves, Arishtasura lifted his tail, and it appeared that clouds were hovering about the tail. His eyes were reddish and moving in anger. Pointing his horns at Krishna, he began to charge him just like the thunderbolt of Indra. But Krishna immediately caught his horns and tossed him away, just as a gigantic elephant repels a small, inimical elephant. Although the demon appeared very tired, and although he was perspiring, he took courage and got up. Again he charged Krishna with great force and anger. While rushing towards Krishna, he breathed very heavily. Krishna again caught his horns and immediately threw him on the ground, breaking his horns. Krishna then began to kick his body, just as one squeezes a wet cloth on the ground. Being thus kicked by Krishna, Arishtasura rolled over and began to move his legs violently. Bleeding and passing stool and urine, his eyes starting from their sockets, he passed to the kingdom of death. The demigods in the celestial planets began to shower flowers on Krishna for his wonderful achievements. Krishna was already the life and soul of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and after killing this demon in the shape of a bull, he became the cynosure of all eyes. With Balaram, he triumphantly entered Vrindavan village, and the inhabitants glorified him and Balaram with great jubilation. When a person performs some wonderful feat, his kinsmen and relatives and friends naturally become jubilant. It was after this incident that the great sage Narad disclosed the secret of Krishna. Narad Muni is generally known as Devadarshan, which means that he can be seen only by demigods or persons on the same level with demigods. But Narad visited Kamsa, who was not at all on the level of the demigods, and yet Kamsa saw him. Of course, Kamsa saw also Krishna, what to speak of Narad Muni. But generally, one must have purified eyes to see the Lord and his devotees. Of course, by association with a pure devotee, one can derive an imperceptible benefit, which is called agyata sukriti. He cannot understand how he is making progress, yet he makes progress by seeing the devotees of the Lord. Narad Muni's mission was to finish things quickly. Krishna appeared to kill the demons, and Kamsa was the chief among them. Narad wanted to expedite things. Therefore, he immediately approached Kamsa with all the real information. "You are to be killed by the eighth son of Vasudev," Narad told Kamsa. "The eighth son is Krishna. You are misled by Vasudev into believing that the eighth issue of Vasudev was a daughter. Actually, the daughter was born of Yashoda, the wife of Nanda Maharaj, and Vasudev exchanged the daughter, so you are misled. Krishna is the son of Vasudev, as is Balaram. Being afraid of your atrocious nature, Vasudev has tactfully hidden them in Vrindavan out of your sight." Narad further informed Kamsa, "Krishna and Balaram have been living incognito in the care of Nanda Maharaj. All the Asuras, your companions who were sent to Vrindavan to kill different children, were killed by Krishna and Balaram." As soon as Kamsa got this information from Narad Muni, he took out his sharpened sword and prepared to kill Vasudev for his duplicity. But Narad pacified him. "You are not to be killed by Vasudev," he said. "Why are you so anxious to kill him? Better try to kill Krishna and Balaram." But in order to satisfy his wrath, Kamsa arrested Vasudev and his wife and shackled them in iron chains. Acting on the new information, Kamsa immediately called for the Keshi demon and asked him to go to Vrindavan immediately to fetch Balaram and Krishna. In actuality, Kamsa asked Keshi to go to Vrindavan to be killed by Krishna and Balaram and thus get salvation. Then Kamsa called for the expert elephant trainers, Chanura, Mushtik, Shal, Toshal, etc., and he told them, "My dear friends, try to hear me attentively. At Nanda Maharaj's place in Vrindavan, there are two brothers, Krishna and Balaram. They are actually two sons of Vasudev. As you know, I have been destined to be killed by Krishna. There is a prophecy to this effect. Now I am requesting you to arrange for a wrestling match. People from different parts of the country will come to see the festival. I will arrange to get those two boys here, and you will try to kill them in the wrestling arena." Wrestling matches are still enjoyed by the indigenous people in the northern part of India, and it appears from the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam that 5,000 years ago, wrestling was popular. Kamsa planned to arrange such a wrestling competition and to invite people to visit. He also told the trainers of the elephants, "Be sure to bring the elephant named Kuvalaya Peed and keep him at the gate of the wrestling camp. Try to capture Krishna and Balaram on their arrival and kill them." Kamsa also advised his friends to arrange to worship Lord Shiva by offering animal sacrifices and performing the sacrifice called Danor Yajna, and the sacrifice performed on the 14th day of the moon, known as Chaturdashi. This date falls 3 days after Ekadashi, and it is set aside for the worship of Lord Shiva. One of the plenary portions of Lord Shiva is called Kalabhairav. This form of Lord Shiva is worshipped by the demons who offer animals killed before him. The process is still current in India, in a place called Vaidyanath Dham, where the demons offer animal sacrifices to the deity of Kalabhairav. Kamsa belonged to this demoniac group. He was also an expert diplomat, and so he quickly arranged for his demon friends to kill Krishna and Balaram. He then called for Akrura, one of the descendants in the family of Yadu, in which Krishna was born as the son of Vasudev. When Akrura came to see Kamsa, Kamsa very politely shook hands with him and said,
"My dear Akrura, actually I've no better friend than you in the Bhoj and Yadu dynasties. You are the most munificent person, so as a friend I am begging charity from you. Actually, I have taken shelter of you, exactly as King Indra takes shelter of Lord Vishnu. I request you to go immediately to Vrindavan and find the two boys named Krishna and Balaram. They are the sons of Nanda Maharaj. Now take this nice chariot, specially prepared for the boys, and bring them here immediately. That is my request to you. Now, my plan is to kill these two boys. As soon as they come in the gate, there will be a giant elephant named Kuvalayapit awaiting, and possibly he will be able to kill them. But if somehow or other they escape, they will next meet the wrestlers and will be killed by them. That is my plan." And after killing these two boys, I shall kill Vasudev and Nanda, who are supporters of the Vrishni and Bhoj dynasties. I shall also kill my father Ugrasen and his brother Devik, because they are actually my enemies and are hindrances to my diplomacy and politics. Thus I shall get rid of all my enemies. Jarasandha is my father-in-law, and I have a great monkey friend named Vivit. With their help, it will be easy to kill all the kings on the surface of the world who support the demigods. This is my plan. In this way I shall be free from all opposition, and it will be very pleasant to rule the world without obstruction. You may know also that Shambhara, Narakasura, Banasura are my intimate friends, and when I begin this war against the kings who support the demigods, they will help me considerably. Surely I shall be rid of all my enemies. So please go immediately to Vrindavan and encourage the boys to come here to see the beauty of Mathura and take pleasure in the wrestling competition."
After hearing this plan of Kamsa's, Akrura replied, "My dear king, your plan is very excellently made to counteract the hindrances to your diplomatic activities, but you should maintain equilibrium, for the result of your activities may be fruitful or may not be fruitful. After all, man proposes, God disposes. We may make very great plans, but unless they are sanctioned by the supreme authority, they will fail. Everyone in this material world knows that the supernatural power is the ultimate disposer of everything. One may make a very great plan with his fertile brain, but he must know that he will become subjected to the fruits, misery and happiness. But I have nothing to say against your proposal. As a friend, I shall carry out your order and bring Krishna and Balaram here as you desire." After instructing his friends in various ways, Kamsa retired, and Akrura went back to his home. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, first chapter of Krishna,
Kamsa sends Akrura for Krishna.